as we sing that song, there may be someone that was singing it that has not yet rendered obedience unto our Lord, but still understand that it will be wonderful there. That opportunity is yours. Anytime, as I've stated in times past, anytime that I am preaching the word, if you make up in your mind that you want to turn your life over to God, that opportunity is yours to come forth and hopefully I don't have my eyes closed and I see you when you come. I'll quit preaching. To take your confession, and we will prepare you to be baptized. And as I've stated, and as we prepare that individual to be baptized, and instead of singing more hymns as we normally do when someone is getting ready to be baptized, I will come back and I will continue to preach until they are ready. The word of God is so good that it gives us the opportunity to do these things and to be the people that He would have us to be. As Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, there in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, you see the interruption there, and you see the continuation. It says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine." And when are you ready? We'll continue from this morning. When are you ready? When can you say, "I'm ready to be baptized"? When you understand what sin is. When you understand who Jesus is. And when you understand what you need to do, you need to believe, the Bible teaches us, in Christ, in the book of John, chapter 8, and the verse is 24. John chapter 8, and the verse is 24. "I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." What is the opposite of that? Believing that He is who He said He was. And being obedient unto this belief. That you may repent of your past sins, as Peter told them there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. See, now understanding is what it's all about. As we know that Philip, when he asked the eunuch in Acts 8, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" So we need some people to guide others to the truth and through the truth in order for them to obey the truth. But they may be able to confess the thing in which they believe, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as did the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. But here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is not a hard process. It's very easy, very simple. We make it hard. And the ones I'm talking about make it hard is the ones that don't want to obey it. They think that something has to happen in a fashion that God is displeased with in order for them to come to Christ. So we want you to be baptized in the watery grave, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Believe and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. The Word of God is simple, and we need to understand what it says. So what are we talking about on this evening? We're talking about, when am I ready to be baptized? Or am I ready to be baptized? I believe there are many people that are ready, but yet something or somebody is holding them back. And usually that something is that they don't want to let go of something out there in the world. Man. And generally that somebody is themselves. Because we all here that are members of the body of Christ want to encourage those that are not to turn their life over to God so that they can have the same blessings that we have. Man. That they can have that same hope that we have. That in the end they will be found faithful and be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. Not hear those dreadful words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That is not what we want. So, when am I ready? When you know what sin is. When am I ready? When you understand who Jesus Christ is. Man. When am I ready? When you understand what you need to do. And then, why do you need to do it? This is a big question that many of us have been asking for a long time. When your parents were telling you to do something when you were little bitty tots, and you know, you get to the age where you've been hearing others say, why? And the parent would say sometimes, because I told you to. That's a simple enough answer right there. To do what God says, because He said to do it. But we want to question it. So let's answer the question and get an understanding why I need to do it. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. You're lost now, those of you who haven't. And those of you that won't, you'll be lost eternally. That's not what we want. John chapter 8, verse 21. John chapter 8, verse 21. Again, you know, the same, you know, as we look at what John is saying, understanding that we need to be obedient to the word. He says, then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. Does Jesus contradict himself? Because in John 14, he said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. No, he does not contradict himself. He is saying here, those that are disobedient, they cannot go where he is going. They will die in their sins. But the ones that are obedient, he tells them, going back to verse 1 of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, Jesus told them that for a reason, because he wanted them to remain prepared for that great day that is coming. There are many that are not going to be able to make it to heaven because they are lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read this on last Sunday and the Sunday before when we were talking about homosexuality and same-sex marriages. But these individuals that participate or live a life of sin, they cannot go to heaven. There's nowhere you're going to find that, oh, I've been baptized and I can sin all I want and everything is going to be all right. There is no one saved, always saved.
Amen.
If you participate in sin and you die in your sins, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. This is what Paul tells us. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. These individuals, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. You keep reading it, and of course, they're the drunkards, the revilers, and the extortioners. They're not going to make it. They're lost. And if they're lost, we need to be doing something to try to help them get found. But they're lost. They're lost now, and they will be lost throughout all eternity if they do not change. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Every now and then, we need to hear some lessons on baptism. What I must do in order to be saved. For those of you that are not, and for those that are, need to hear these lessons so that we may remember that we need to continue to teach these things. Because we come in contact with people on a regular basis that are not members of the Lord's church. And we need to teach them what they need to do in order to become a member. In Revelation 21 verse 8 it said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death? What's the first death? Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If you are found to be, you know, in sin, living a life of sin or live the life of sin, you will encounter the second death. You will not get into heaven. The Bible tells us you will go to hell. None of us want to go there. If you do, I would like to talk to you after I finish preaching. I would like to talk to you. And I would like to, for you to explain to me why you want to go to a place that wasn't prepared for you and I. You know, you no one want to go anywhere where they haven't been invited. Because a lot of times they say, who are you? Well, why are you here? I was following a guy going to visit him, and he drove up in this parking lot in this housing, and I drove up right behind him and blocked the driveway, and the guy looked over there and asked him, said, who is that? I was somewhere where I wasn't invited. But I went to talk to one person in particular and saw that I wasn't welcome. So I got through with my business quick and I left. But if you find yourself in hell, you cannot leave. That is your home throughout all eternity. So let's do what is right. Let's do what is right. When am I ready? When I know I am in danger if I delay. How many times have we put off and put off and put off by going to see somebody? Just to get that phone call that they died when you, oh, I was going to go see them yesterday. Why come I didn't go? Because you procrastinated. What about the man that you thought about, or the woman you thought about going and teaching God's word with, just to find out they was in a bad car accident and they died? Oh man, I had the opportunity and I didn't cease to tell them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What about you that have said, oh, I have tomorrow. I know I do. How do you know you do? God did not promise tomorrow to any of us. You're in danger. You're in danger. Today is all you have. Next week you may see it. Next month. Let's just stop there for a moment. Got a phone call. Big Mama has 7 months to live. She has cancer. It's tearing her up. 7 months. Get another call. Big Mama has 7 weeks to live. The cancer is spreading. The doctors really didn't diagnose it right the first time. Big Mama got 7 days to live. Junior, you need to come home. Big Mama's in the hospital. She's dying. That's the way our life is. We are dying every minute. Every day, every second, we are dying. But we're putting off until the next time. Who knows when you're going to die? It would be good to know when we're going to die so we can prepare for it. Is your house in order? Those of you that have something to leave to your children, do you have wills made out, or are you going to leave it so that they can fight about it? Well, I'm going to spend all of what I have before I die. Are you sure? When is Christ coming back? Matthew chapter 24. When is Christ coming back? See, that's what we need to be worried about. That's what we need to be thinking about, because He is coming back. He doesn't know, but you know, there are people that are telling us, oh, He's coming back in a year of such and such and such and such. They said He gave 88 reasons in 1988 that He was coming back. I told one of the soldiers, I said, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. And that was the day after Christ was supposed to come back. Well, they just missed it. Yeah, they missed it. They've been missing it for a long time because they're not God.
Amen.
We do not know when Christ is going to come back. Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. But people can tell you. People can tell you. Matthew 24, 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation. What generation? Not the generation that we're living in, is it? Because He was talking to them. Things were going to be fulfilled. So they did not have to worry about Him coming back right then at that time, because some things had to be fulfilled. Well, when is He coming back? When is He coming back? I don't know. He didn't say, well, you know, soon after it's fulfilled, I'll be back. You know, that's those people that tell you when you get in trouble and they I'll be right back. I'm going home to get my gun. What you going to do? You going to stand around and wait on them? You have no idea when exactly they're coming back. But they say they're coming, so you need to be prepared for them. I'm not telling you to go get your gun. I'm telling you, don't be standing there when they come back. Don't be in sin when Jesus comes back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. I've been staying up all night long. You know, they've been robbing houses all around me. And I've been staying up every night trying to catch him when he come into my house. And the one night that I fall asleep, he comes in and takes everything I have. Sad, isn't it? You don't think that it's possible that a man can come in your house while you're sleeping in the next room and take what you own. Got a phone call from my brother one day. He was just, he was torn up. So what's wrong, man? He said, ain't nothing wrong. He hung up the phone, he called me back, and he just really laid it on me. Here we are, laid up in the house. They done come in there, and they done stole this, they done stole that. They stole things out of the car, and then they took the car. Got the keys right off the table. People are bold. But I want you to know this. Just as people are bold to break in your house and steal things, the Lord is coming back. He's not coming back to steal anything. He's coming back to get what's His.
Amen.
And that is the church. Come back for a perfect church now. So if you're not part of that church, He's not coming back for you. You could die before He comes back. It's not if I die. You're going to die, but you could die before He comes back. Are you ready? See, we're living in a dangerous time. If we're not living in Christ, we're playing with fire. You know, those short stem short fuse firecrackers, especially the black cat, if you don't throw it fast enough, you're going to look at your finger and you probably have an open wound on your finger, because those black cats are bad. They'll tear you up. But I want you to think about living in a place where there's no rest at all. Living in a place where, you know, y'all, some of y'all got those fans in your fan, and there won't be any fans.
Amen.
When we finish, or when I finish preaching, I go back to the water fountain and I get me a drink of water. There is no water.
Amen.
There is no rest for the soul.
Amen.
For the man that lives disobedient to God's word. So let's do what is right. Let's do what is right. When am I ready? When I can't be talked out of it. No, you don't need to go. You don't need to go and get baptized. They don't know what they're talking about. Although they're preaching God's word, they don't know what they're talking about. Young man, actually, he was a little boy. He wanted to get baptized. His mama said, "If you get baptized, I'm going to beat you." He took that beating. Let me tell you why he took that beating. Because he knew that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world. He knew that if he died, understanding what sin is, understanding who Jesus is, understanding what he needed to do, understanding why he needed to do it, understanding the dangers, he could not be talked out of it. He took that beating. And you know what happened shortly after that? He told his sister, he said, "Go ahead and get your whooping too." You know what she did? She went ahead and obeyed the gospel too. And I never really got the story of not she got a beating or not. But you know who should have been beat? The one that was threatening them to beat them for not doing what is right.
Amen.
Our children look at our lives, and when they know to do right, and they want to do it, you cannot talk them out of it. Grown-ups, if you know to do right, your family should not be able to talk you out of doing what is right. You should go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Is there someone here tonight or this evening that can say, "I'm ready to be baptized"? Can you? If you can, ask yourself. Ask yourself, what am I waiting on? I understand what sin is. I understand that I'm living in sin. What am I waiting on? I believe. Do you really? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He came to die for the sins of the world. I believe that He was buried, that He would raise up on the third day. I believe all that. What are you waiting on? You're afraid to repent? You're afraid to give up some things? Why? Is it that good? Is sin really that enjoyable that you don't want to give it up, that you would much rather spend your eternity in hell? I don't know anything in this life that is good enough to reject the gospel call. And there are many of us that say the same thing because we have lived some dirt or did some dirt in our lives. Amen. We have lived in fashions that God is displeased with. We have acted in ways that we know good and well we shouldn't have acted in, but we changed. We repented from those things to live a life that is pleasing unto God.
Amen.
Are you ready to get your life right? Are you ready to make a commitment? You know, there's many of us that are not ready to commit, so that's why we don't do it. A man shacking with a woman, and she said, "Why don't you marry me?" He said, "Why don't you marry me? I'm not ready for that commitment yet." No better time than the present time. Josh, y'all remember Josh? I was telling y'all we got that phone call from Josh, and Josh said, "Hey, what's the zip code?" And I said, "Josh, who's that in the background?" He said, "Oh, that's nobody but Patrice." And I said, "Josh, I know you're not shacking." Yeah, Mel, I'm shacking, you know. Don't tell Miss Anita, though. You know what Josh did? Because Josh knew he was wrong. Instead of waiting until November to get married, Josh got married last month because he knew that he was living a life of sin. He was ready to make that commitment to marriage because he had made a commitment to God. He got his life in order. But there are many people that are not ready to commit to a relationship with the person that they proclaim that they love, let alone make a commitment to God. See, we have to commit. If we don't commit to God, we're going to commit to the devil. So let's commit to Him to do the things that are right. Are you ready? If not, why not? What is really and truly holding you back? What do you have to lose? I say absolutely nothing. What do you have to gain? I say absolutely a whole lot. Just look around. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a family that you can truly say, "This is my family." Ones that I can depend on, ones that I can go to and talk to, and I can just tell my troubles to and don't have to worry about. Listen very carefully now, because we have a problem that I don't have to worry about hearing it anymore. See, that's what the family of God should be. Ones that you can depend on. Ones that you can trust in. Ones that when I need somebody to talk to, that they can be there for you. Just as our Father is there for us, we need to be there for one another. When? When are you going to say, now is the time, because I believe. I'm tired of putting off and I'm ready to put on. The Bible says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Those that have not put Him on, you're in danger of hellfire. Are you ready? If not, why not? It's your choice. I don't care how many messages you hear on baptism. I don't care how many times your family members set you down and talk to you, or your friends set you down and talk to you. It's your choice. You have to make up in your mind, because it's your life. But I want you to know, a life outside of Christ is really no life at all. Amen. But a life in Christ is a life that you can be pleased with. So if you're here on this evening and you're ready to come to the fold, do not put off. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away and you realize that you are in sin and you realize that you've made a mistake. Come forward and get that right as well. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.